By the time the first fire truck got on the scene, flames were shooting 30 feet plus in the air. And they realized, hey, we need more help.
Hi friends, it's Jason Wright. In 2005, I wrote a little novel called Christmas Jars. The book was about a very simple tradition of a family taking a glass jar, filling it with spare change all year long, and then giving that jar away anonymously to someone in need. Over the years, I have heard thousands of stories of people around the world who have given and received Christmas jars in real life. These are stories of real everyday people with real needs who experience real miracles. I'm so thankful to have my friend Julie Miller joining us today. Julie, how are you?
I am fine.
I'm so glad you're here because you're local. I don't ever get to talk to someone who lives just down the street. In fact, we're in the same room. Can you believe that? Thank you for being here. So your story is big and dramatic, and it would make maybe even for a great TV movie one day, wouldn't it? Can you talk to us a little bit about the Millers and what was life like before everything changed?
Well, we were just your typical family. We're a family of four. It's myself, my husband, and my two daughters. When our event occurred, they were 13 and 17. I was born in Maryland, moved to Mississippi, then to Arizona, and then back here. I work as an emergency room nurse. My husband and I both have been heavily involved in fire and EMS. Not only is my husband a firefighter, but I have volunteered with the rescue squad since I was 15. I won't say how old I am now, but many years. And my oldest daughter was a member of the fire department. And as soon as my youngest daughter was old enough, she also has joined. And now I've actually joined the fire department that my husband was a member of. So fire and EMS has always been big in our family.
Can you talk to us a little bit about a pretty impactful day, Thanksgiving Day to be exact?
Of course, as everyone knows, 2020 was the year of COVID. Working in the ER, we had experienced a lot of death and dying that was worse than normal. And so Thanksgiving Day, we were actually looking forward to just enjoying a family meal. My husband actually was the one working on fixing our Thanksgiving dinner. He was downstairs working on cooking the turkey. My youngest daughter went downstairs and all of a sudden we heard her yelling, fire, fire, fire. My husband, who is a firefighter, ran downstairs immediately, and I followed him down. I got down there, I saw some of the Christmas lights that actually caught on fire. There was a wood stove down there, and there was lots of paper and stuff in the corner, and unfortunately, the fire from the lights got into that paper and started a larger fire. I ran back upstairs immediately and grabbed my phone that was in the bedroom. I called 911. My husband, him and my daughter were both still in the basement trying to put the fire out. It was probably less than 5 minutes from the time the fire started. The house was actually filled with smoke. My daughter finally came outside and my husband was still in the basement trying to put the fire out. As a result, he actually ended up with some smoke inhalation. He was not able to knock the fire down, and he did make it out. We actually were concerned he would get trapped inside because the basement door had stuck shut because of the heat from the fire. The fire trucks rolled in and started trying to put out the fire. Like I said, my husband volunteers with one of our local fire departments, and his company actually showed up on the scene. So those guys, the majority of them are volunteers, which meant that they volunteered to walk away from their families on Thanksgiving at dinner time to try and save our house. But the guys on the truck didn't necessarily know that it was our house at the time. And one of the guys walked up to him and said, "What are you doing? Get your bunker gear on. Help us put this fire out." Adam looked at the guy and said, "This is my house." And it just broke that guy's heart. When they were done that evening, the house was still standing, but there was extensive damage to the house. The insurance company did find us a hotel to stay at, which was a very nice hotel. They found us, we were able to have a little bit of a home until we could figure something out. And of course, the first thing we all wanted to do was take a shower because we all smell like smoke. But we didn't have clothes to change into because my husband tends to not wear any shirt when he's in the house. So he had come out of the house with no shirt on and only jeans and the shoes he had on. My daughter didn't even have shoes on. She just had the clothes on her back. We're the type of people that keep clothes in our vehicles too. So luckily my husband did have a shirt and a jacket that he could put on. But that was all we had.
I think it's so important that our listeners understand what it is like to see your entire life in flames and then to be left with literally nothing but the clothes on your back, and in your husband's case, the pants on your waist because you're not even wearing a shirt.
Yeah.
What did that feel like in that moment?
Very vulnerable. You know, at first you think we just lost all our belongings. But in the long run, that was actually just the tip of it. Because it wasn't just about the physical belongings, it was the memories associated with those belongings. And we decided before our kids got up, okay, let's go back out to the house and try and see what we can salvage. So about 7 o'clock, we roll out to our house. And when we pulled up in the driveway, there was smoke coming out of the house. Being in fire and EMS, we knew what that meant. That meant that the fire had started over again. The technical term is a rekindle of the structure fire from the night before. And so I called 911. I said we needed multiple fire trucks and tankers and a lot of water to put out because I knew the fire would just start going full force again because there was still a fair amount of the house left. They sent one fire truck. And by the time the first fire truck got on the scene, flames were shooting 30 feet plus in the air. And they realized, hey, we need more help. We need more fire trucks. We need a lot of water. But unfortunately, the damage was beyond being able to salvage anything. Actually, kind of a funny part of that is someone had been in the basement and gone down, and the stove had fallen down in the basement. And they had opened the stove and reached in and pulled the turkey out. And the turkey wasn't done. It had made it through the oven and a house fire, and it was still as white as all get out. The turkey timer hadn't even popped.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, it was so bad that they had to call in a bulldozer, essentially, and they pushed the walls into the basement of the house and backed a fire truck up to the hole that was in the ground and dumped a fire truckload of water into the basement of our house. And then they proceeded to take a backhoe and pull out the parts of the house to spread it out to make sure it was out. My husband and I had to leave. We went to be with our children because we knew there was absolutely nothing left that we could save. We were actually very thankful. Because no one got hurt. Other than my husband getting a little smoke, my children were safe, I was safe, and my husband was safe. No firefighter got hurt.
Most people will never watch their home burn down once. You watched it burn down twice. And the fact that you found such hope and gratitude in the fact that you were alive and that you were, you know, mostly healthy is just so inspiring to me. Now we're in a Hampton Inn.
Yes.
And a couple of weeks I think have passed and you're working on new housing. And I'm sure that's all a blur to you.
Mm-hmm. We were in the hotel and someone had contacted me wanting to deliver something to the hotel. Didn't tell me what it was. So I immediately went downstairs, and as soon as I saw it, I knew exactly what it was. It was a Christmas jar. We were very blessed with this jar that someone gave us this money, but there was a lot of fussing and carrying on about getting the money out of this jar because they had literally packed this jar full to the point we almost thought we were going to have to break the jar to get the money out. And then once we start getting the money out, we realize it was almost like the prank that your kids, that actually my daughter played on me like the next year, of wrapping your Christmas present up and making it impossible to get open. But they have packed over $950 in this jar. And this wasn't a quart jar. This was a bigger than quart jar. I don't know what size it was, but it was bigger than a quart jar. But they were all ones. And so we had to count all these ones. And so the next day, I walked into the bank with this box of ones, literally almost a shoebox full, under my arm into my local bank to deposit. That money made a difference because it made it so we could buy more clothes. It was among funds that helped us eventually furnish the home that we moved into. It just meant so much knowing that someone thought that much of us to give us any amount of money, but to give us almost $1,000, whether we knew them or not. It could have been from anyone. We finally were able to move into a new house December 13th. A friend of ours had contacted us and had a house that was empty that he had for rent. And this house actually has a special meaning to us because it had originally belonged to friends, good friends of ours. It actually was a relief to be able to move into somewhere we knew. And it was a little bit like moving home. But that Christmas jar sat on our mantle. And over the next year, my husband and I put money in it. My kids would put money in it. And it eventually got passed on to a young family that was getting ready to have another baby. They were members of our fire department. And we delivered it one night without them knowing. That was a challenge because they had dogs. We don't necessarily every year do a Christmas jar, but every year at Thanksgiving, one of the big things is we find a local family and provide them a meal. Because, you know, that's what we were doing when we lost our house, is we were cooking our meal. My life has always been in service to others, through the rescue squad, through my work. And that was just another way for my whole family to give back to someone. And last year, we actually decided, and we're going to do it again this year, we are having a family Thanksgiving at our fire department for everyone who doesn't have family to celebrate with, for the guys that are working. That's kind of become our way to give back and thank people for giving us their Thanksgiving in 2020.
Julie, such an honor to have you here with us today. Thank you so much for sharing your story and all the good things that you and your family have done.
Thank you, and I appreciate it.
The Christmas Jars podcast is hosted by Jason Wright and produced by Brian Tanner and Wendy Folsom. Our executive producer is Sam Payne. Thank you to our guest, Julie Miller, for sharing your story. If you're looking for more ways to serve this Christmas season, then the annual Light the World campaign can give you a lot of ideas about how you can be someone's angel. Visit lighttheworld.org to learn more. The Christmas Jars podcast is a production of BYU Radio.